This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Must come down. Here's a man that is vulnerable, woman.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 21st of December, 2021, and you are on the clock with Erin Green on this winter solstice. I heard we had a wonderful morning this morning. I walked into a room full of men in uniform playing music and expressing themselves. Wow, what a wonderful, wonderful morning. And what a tribute. What a tribute. This morning, I woke up to the sad news that a friend of mine had passed away. It's a long, long time friend. A fellow Comet, year of 94. If you remember, 92 was the last year to go to grade 11, and everyone that followed after had to do 2 years, right? They had to do an extra year to graduate. My friend never let me live it down. He's like, man, I'm supposed to be right behind you. They changed the law right in time. So anyway, I want to share some sad news. A dear friend, not just to myself, but to many members of the Queen's College Comet family, members of the year of 94, graduation year, to the fishing community, we've lost a dear colleague and a friend, in the man LeVar Pratt. A few weeks ago, a guest shared sort of a family motto shared to her by other people in her family. And it goes like this. Where there is no Pratt, the people shall perish. And never have I felt that as much as I feel it today. What will we do without you, LeVar Pratt? You see, when you realize that you are a woman that loves women, and you join the lesbian union, the first thing you gotta do is find yourself a good backup husband. Just like, you know, just like BPL, you need a good backup generator. You gotta find a good backup husband. And Mr. Pratt had committed himself to fulfilling that duty for me, just in case, you know, in case the law requires it. It's a case of matter, life or death. But he promised me if I was ever sitting there all and alone and gray and miserable, he would be more than welcome to join me on that porch and ensure that my misery continues for the rest of my life. And that's what you call a good friend and a good pretend husband. It's a shame that I'm never going to sit on that porch and call his name and cuss at him and tell him to bring me some water. And then he's going to tell me it's a hole in the bucket. And then I was going to tell him we'll fix it. And he's going to tell me with what, dear Aaron, with what, dear Aaron, how are we going to fix this? But that time will not come anymore. And that's okay. For it is our job to keep living. And that's what we shall do. So I ain't even sure if I understand what this song means. But Rolly Gray, I can be here bailing the boat out. Okay? I got it. You could trust me. The boat ain't going down. We could bail it out. To the Pratt family, to his blessed, beloved daughter, to Mrs. Pratt, member of the Hannah Hasty Tynes family, I send my deepest condolences to all y'all, my cousins. And you see, that's why it would have been the perfect marriage. Hannah Hasty Tynes. Anyway, I'd like to thank you, Bahamas, for sharing this moment with me. Arlington, play that song again. We're going to go to a break. And I know y'all been inundated with music this morning, but how sweet it was. How sweet it was. I want to say thank you. Arlington, was that the pop band or the regular band? That's the pop band, right? I want to say thank you to the Royal Bahamas Police Force pop band this morning. I didn't mind that you cut into my minutes this morning. That was so sweet to hear y'all playing. I hope we could enjoy this day that the Lord has made. We're going to a break. We come back from this break. We're going to talk about what's in the news. I got a guest in studio with me. Plenty to talk about, so stay tuned to Guardian Radio,
96.9 FM. Food security is a challenge for many. Now in a pandemic, many more are unsure of their next meal. Through their Feed 5000 program and a $20,000 donation, AML is working to ensure that everyone has a meal for the holidays, and they're inviting you to help. Now until December 17th, visit any Solomon's, Costrite, Fresh Market, or Domino's in Nassau or Freeport, and Exuma Markets in Georgetown to donate and help feed a family in need this Christmas. No amount is too small. Remember, we're all in this together.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the Solution. Sponsor On the Clock of Aaron Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Dwight Strawn with Morning Blend. On behalf of the crew and my co-hosts, I wish you all a very Merry Christmas and an incredibly blessed and prosperous New Year.
This is shown by the stars above. What goes up must come down. Here's a man that is born of a woman, has about a short time to live. Ooh, Goldie Gray, yeah, folks, need it barely now, yeah. That's the
good evening this morning, and welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. And today I have joining me in studio, Mr. C.A. Newry. And we're going to be talking about what's been happening across the country over the last couple of weeks, I guess. Over the last couple of weeks, definitely. Good morning, Mr. Newry. How are you?
Good morning this morning, Erin. Thanks very much for the invite and my condolences. It's always hard to lose a childhood friend.
Yeah.
A neighbor. And certainly from your testimony you gave, he meant a lot to you, right? And I appreciate the narrative you said about him because I felt his presence. I was able to smile and celebrate his life, mm-hmm. right? It sounds like he too is a part of the Hannah Hasty Tynes clan.
Oh, yeah.
And I even got the reference about cousins married each other, right? And I appreciate that. And there's an old Igbo tradition of eternal life, and that we believe that eternal life comes by us paying tribute and remembering our ancestors, those who preceded us on their journey name. And as long their lifespan exists, as long as we call their name. Mm-hmm. So I pray Adair Pratt lives on for years and years to come through the memories of his children, his memories of his spouse, memory of his parents, and of course the memories of his friends. So I pray him a long life.
Yeah, you know,
a long celebration.
And you know, people may laugh when I say this, but this is a man, a fisherman, a Porter's Key Dock fisherman, who taught me about empathy, who taught me about compassion for others, even in the face of their vitriol or hatred.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he taught me about understanding people at the core. That people inherently are good. And even when they're doing bad things, you must always try to find the good in them, even if to only remind them
yes.
of themselves, you know, and where they come from. And for that, I will always appreciate him.
Good.
There's plenty in the news today. I want to start off, you know, I didn't think that the taxi debate, you know, was going to be such a hot topic, a hot discussion. But Cecil, I have another question I wanted to ask you. And for me, it got me, I don't want to say upset, you know, or livid, but I was a little, I was pushed to question, pushed to challenge, and pushed to inquire, right? What do you think about the Christmas display in Rawson Square and Parliament Square?
I made a post, and the post was that because of COVID, we were unable to have Junkanoo. And you know that a number of persons are concerned of that. And because we were unable to have Junkanoo, we were unable to erect bleachers on Bay Street.
Mm-hmm.
And because we were unable to erect bleachers on Bay Street, blocking off the terrace fair, the thoroughfare, and businesses, and blocking off Rawson Square,
right.
We were able to erect an official holiday display. Right. And this is the holiday display that people are now passing and taking pictures of. So this, what you're seeing is a result of there being no Junkanoo and a result of there being a COVID pandemic. And we've using or taken advantage of this opportunity to have an event, another avenue of celebrating. Now, I see where you go and said, "What? How do I feel about it?"
Yeah.
It was nice to see it—a wintry wonderland. And I know that Christmas is commercialism and very American-oriented. And I celebrate American Christmas.
Okay, then, because for me, it's a very Eurocentric display.
And I understand and I agree.
Yeah.
And perhaps the better word is very Americanized.
Yeah.
Instead of Eurocentric, because that's very
right.
American.
You're right. It is very American. You're absolutely right on that. And I was a little disturbed. Now, mind you,
But you're a culturist, so I understand why you would be disturbed.
Let me say that it was beautiful.
It was beautiful, wasn't it? Isn't
it?
Isn't it?
It is still. I saw, I think the best picture I've seen so far is a woman grabbing her husband, putting him in and say, "Look here,
let's get
your Christmas gift."
Nice. Mistletoe type picture.
Yeah. It's a beautiful picture. But you said something, right?
Yes.
You said, taking advantage of the absence of Junkanoo.
Yes.
Now, that's the space within which I get concerned, right? Because
mm-hmm.
my thing is this. You don't need an excuse to do something you want to do in your own country.
Yes.
And I couldn't imagine that there was tension between Junkanoo and those who wanted to have another type of display in Rawson Square.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand why the two of them couldn't be up at the same time. right?
And I think the mother of creativity is absent. Is that that's
yeah, some, possibly yeah.
Yeah, and there's absence of Junkanoo, caused being a necessity to create something.
Right.
So without one, there was never a need to do the other.
Except there's always a need.
Well, perhaps it was a smaller need, but it was Russian Square didn't need to be created or gifted or decorated like how it is now. And now there is a need because there's absence of the bleachers.
Well, I mean, see, that's an interesting way to look at it.
Yes.
And I'm concerned about that, right? Like I say, it shouldn't be like, oh, the Junkanoos can't do it this year. Maybe it's our time. Both should be able to coincide.
Let me give you another example.
Yeah.
Yes, last night they had a rush out in honor of Winston Gus Cooper.
Right.
Right? And I've been an advocate of community Junkanoo during the Christmas time and event to make it get Junkanoo returned to the people. But because there's an absence of Junkanoo again, the mother of necessity created an avenue for these people to rush in Stapleton and have a new event mm-hmm. that did not exist or was not necessary before Junkanoo because they were already being busy for preparing for the Junkanoo parade and there wasn't going to be a Winston Cooper
right.
celebration.
Now, okay, just stick a pin. I want you to go on. It's something so important you said there, right? Like that there was no need for it before. But I'd say that there was a need for it
mm-hmm.
before. Community-style Junkanoo.
Yes.
There's always been a quote-unquote mm-hmm. need for it.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you hear young people talking about the culture of violence
yes.
that exists around Junkanoo,
mm-hmm.
right? You hear there's a sort of joke that people tell. They say to their girlfriend, now listen, I need you to follow all of the rules when we go to Junkanoo.
Yes.
Right? And she say, oh, well, you're going to protect me if they try to touch me up.
Yes.
And he say, to protect you?
Mm-hmm.
Miss, are you going to protect me
yes.
when they touch us up,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's been a need to create different spaces
yes.
for the enjoyment or experience of Junkanoo. Without a doubt, a more family-oriented space,
mm-hmm.
right? And I dare to say it, a more tourist-oriented space. Pause.
Mm-hmm.
So you stop trying to turn our Junkanoo into something that's amenable and comfortable
yes.
for them.
Yes. And I believe that few people understand what Junkanoo is and who Junkanoo is for. Junkanoo is just for Bohemians, solely, full stop.
Yeah.
Junkanoo is not for tourists at all.
Yeah.
And I think that with the influence of the Ministry of Tourism, they have bastardized who Junkanoo is for. Junkanoo is for Bohemians only. And if people outside the Bahamas, if foreigners want to experience it and celebrate it with us, they're invited to come and experience it how we do it.
Right.
But now we have turned the pyramid upside down and try to have them enjoy our festival first. And then we tag along instead
yeah.
of they tag along. It's the same thing with our food. We've even bastardized our cultural food in order for it to be amenable to the tourists. And we're mixing things up.
Imagine you come to the Bahamas.
Yes.
The home of seafood.
Yes.
The third largest, or if not one of the largest fish nurseries in the world.
Yes.
And you are being convinced that we don't serve bone-in fish here.
Yes, they took out the bone.
Right? Like...
But old head said, no, the head of the fish is offensive.
And so now we got young Bahamian children that don't eat fish with bone. Now, mind you.
And can't navigate it with bone.
Right, because you learn at the age of 3.
How to spit it out.
How to eat fish with bone. I'm very concerned about this trend.
Yes.
Where it appears as if a foreigner can have a more luxurious or a better experience of Junkanoo than
yes.
you. Now, that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
You could fly in. Look here, you could fly into the Bahamas and be the luckiest person on earth
mm-hmm.
and get to rush with a group by mm-hmm. accident because your taxi driver know a boy who know a boy.
Yes.
You could do that. But it can't be designed for you or the people with the most money to
yes.
have the best experience.
Yes.
And I think we're losing that. I got two calls on the line. Callers, hold on. But before we leave that point, I haven't seen the display at night.
Okay.
Are there any Junkanoo elements?
No.
Or,
well, you got to go no further. No. It's an Americanized celebration because Christmas is also American. All right. And separate, mind you, we celebrate Christmas differently. Yeah. And perhaps we need to have a discussion on how we can add to an Americanized concept of Christmas.
Right.
Right. But it's a foreign concept that they have on Bay Street, which looks nice.
Yeah.
And we are ontologically American, and it's something that we can celebrate also.
Right. And our tourism market right now, I think, is being driven primarily by the American market.
Yes.
And we have invited, when you invite people, tell them, come to my house. It could be just like being at home.
Yes.
You can try and make it a little bit like home.
And this is why McDonald's is one of the most popular restaurant on Bay Street, because the tourists want to come here to experience McDonald's and not to go to the fish fry.
Well, comfort.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to throw shade there, but there.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
I'll throw the shade.
That's why McDonald's is 24 hours.
It's not even a palm tree in the display.
No. It's not even a behemoth McDonald's.
All right. So just before we get to the next caller, what about next year? We have a competition to invite communities and schools maybe to compete for the display spot. So in your constituency or your community, you set up your display.
Mm-hmm.
A committee driven by public vote.
Mm-hmm.
Tell y'all which one is the best display, and we will put in Rawson Square.
And I have no problem with that, but I don't think Rawson Square will be available next year, because we return back to normal.
Parliament Square, not.
But picture the bleachers. The bleachers are in Rawson Square and Parliament Square. Therefore, there's no room for your display, which you're speaking of.
You think we have in Junkanoo next year?
If the COVID goes, and of course, we'll learn to live with it. And yes, we'll have Junkanoo on Bay Street next year.
Wow.
But then again, I said that for this year, but so anything is possible.
Yeah. I was just imagining, could Bay Street be any more restrictive than it already is?
And COVID allow us to analyze what we are now. There may be perhaps the need to remove all the bleachers. There's no need for bleachers, because the bleachers restrict Bohemian from being a part of Junkanoo and made it more of a spectator sport than it initially was.
Yeah.
And we see that the business persons downtown were complaining about the bleachers. We see that there are persons who say, oh, Junkanoo has outgrown the space of Bay Street, and it's because of the bleachers. Perhaps we need to come up with a better plan on how to erect, if we're going to have bleachers, first of all, where to erect the bleachers, where not to erect the bleachers, how to break them down in time, after the parade, that commerce and activity continues, that we are able to also have that same display that you're talking about, and make Bay Street more accessible to a regular Bohemian, and that we can be a part of a Bohemian-oriented Christmas instead of Americanized Christmas. And like I said, COVID gave us an opportunity to at least investigate if such is possible. It just happens that I believe that we would return back to normal and our way of thinking, and we wouldn't have learned anything from this COVID crisis.
Absolutely. So I'm going to get to this caller. If you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. And what I want to hear from the public today, along with a bunch of other stuff, is, have you been to one of the community Junkanoo events for the year so far? How does it compare to regular, normal Junkanoo or Junkanoo practice? What were the protocols like? Were people easily able to adhere to the social protocols and to the rules? And is this something that we should invest in the coming years, in case we have a difficult time getting back to normal, or in case we want to duplicate, right? We want both the Bay Street rush and the community rush experience. Arlington, let's go to this first caller. Caller, you on the clock.
Holiday is this song, universe along you, Aaron.
Good morning, Bremen. Blessings.
Brent.
Blessings. How are you?
And of course, your co-host. The first time I've seen him talking some things in which I agree to his sense. But before I make my main point, right, what I want to say is speak of Bay Street, right?
Uh-huh.
The thing is, with the bleachers, in order for the bleachers to be out there, our Bay Street gonna have to be narrowed down in order to put bleachers all over the place for those people that want bleachers.
Yeah.
You see, and the thing is, what happened is, because of the violence nowadays. I remember when everybody could just go on Bay Street and stand up under the trees and stuff on the side of the street and enjoy Jonkanu. But you can't do that now because the lot of people got so violent. You see what
now,
I'm saying?
Now, Bremen, one second. You're an older Bahamian who's participated in Jonkanu. I was told that original forms of Jonkanu, groups would rush from their communities to a central point, and then essentially it would be a little bus up, a little clicking in your head, possibly, as they move through that central space. A, is that true? And B, if it is true, that seemed like the same type of violence.
No. I remember when we could have rushed, every Jonkanu group, right,
uh-huh.
could have rushed from their community
uh-huh.
through the communities to get to the Western Fort, to Brian Guy Fawkes. And it's never been a problem. Okay?
Right.
You know,
but what about
what
about the parade itself on Bay? Was there a point where the groups would be on Bay at the same time tussling for space?
No, never.
No?
No, I've never experienced it. And I was going to Jonkanu from when I was a little boy. When my family had to hold my hand and carry me out there.
Boy, look here, Bremen, I can let you go on.
No, I want to make my point. My main point is that BTC, Directory Assistance, they need to be working. It seems as if they're not working nowadays.
I got
and you. And we still pay us our money. They got to behave and get to work.
Thank you, Bremen.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Listen, my father, the first rule of Jonkanu is if you can't stay up past 9 p.m., you don't business on Bay Street at Jonkanu. And we would beg him to take us to town with him, and he would drop us off politely on my Grammy front porch on East Street and say, we're coming back for you in the morning. You could be all right. That's the first rule of Jonkanu. If you can't handle yourself, you can't be a Jonkanu. But CA, what was your experience? Is what I've been told close to the truth?
Yes, and you're taking a historical view of Jonkanu when Jonkanu had Jonkanu gangs.
Yeah.
And where they were rushing in opposite direction, and there were some type of violence between the rival gangs. But Jonkanu has evolved from that.
Yeah.
And Bremen is talking about a latter time, an experience. So both is correct,
right?
In that narrative.
Absolutely, yes. Absolutely. Because I think that perhaps in an attempt to sort of curtail what we think is violence,
mm-hmm.
we've actually perpetuated a real violence.
And
right?
it's a violence against the society, haves and haves not. Now, there are a number of persons say, why isn't Bahamians patronizing Jonkanu like yesteryears?
Yeah.
There's a reason for that. It's because they cannot see it.
Yeah.
You know, because those who have money gets the best seat.
Right.
And they see it more. So they're now punishing. They're now brutalizing, disenfranchising poor Bahamians from experiencing the best culture and best display on earth.
Right.
And that is also a crime.
And their own culture.
Yes.
And
their own culture, where they would have been perhaps intimately involved in. And now there's the disconnect. And you'll see that there are less and less persons interactive in Jonkanu, and people need to consider that. And that's perhaps why there's a reason why there's no Jonkanu in school, that there's no tradition being passed over. Jonkanu, to me, is not a part of Bahamian culture, and I say that with a caveat, so people can understand. Culture is something that you do naturally, that everyone or the majority of people do naturally. It comes like breathing. I cannot say that the majority, 70% of us, can pace a costume because it was taught at home.
Right.
That 70% of us rush at least once or live inside the shack as part of their growing up. I cannot say that. And if I cannot say that 70% of the Bahamians can actively say that they've participated in Jonkanu in some minimal way, that means it cannot be a part of our culture. It has to be something separate, something must be defined for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it cannot be determined as culture if the majority of Bahamians, if the majority, the vast majority of Bahamians don't participate in it. It has to be something called something different.
Yeah, man.
That's a serious indictment, but by definition, someone needs to investigate that. And this is where the UB comes in to create a new name of expression of what Junkanoo means to the Bahamian people and what it actually is, and take away from the bastardized name and say just Junkanoo is Bahamian culture, when in fact, by definition, it cannot be.
Well, you know, I hope that these are things that we talk about at the planned Sankofa Flamingo World Junkanoo Festival. And at the Junkanoo Festival organized by the, is it the Commandos, Angelique?
Angelique Culture.
Yeah, Angelique.
McKay.
Right, Angelique McKay from Cultural Experiences Productions.
Yes.
Right? Like, the two of them need to sit down. See, this is an instance where we could have two festivals. We could have two trains
yes.
of thought coming together.
One could be the cultural version of Junkanoo, and one could be the festival version of Junkanoo. And that'll take the Bahamian people buying into it, and of course, Ministry of Culture invested in it.
Right.
And you'll see that even though Angelique is doing a yeoman's job, it's a small... it's a small expression of who we are.
Right.
Because, you know, and that's because I don't think government has invested into it. I don't think that the Bahamian public has bought into what she's doing that to show that Junkanoo is a part of us. And it tells a tale about who we are as a people, that perhaps Junkanoo, the discussion or the narrative that Junkanoo is a part of our culture is not necessarily true, because mm-hmm. we haven't proven that by how we express it.
Right. And it's going to take intentional movement on it, right? Because like you point out, we have all of this legislation to protect monuments, antiquities, right? And,
yes.
and museums and culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have all of those things, but we don't have one monument officially
Not one.
Registered. And those are real tangible things.
Mm-hmm.
How will we then have this cultural form and practice? And like it's a practice, right? It's a lived experience.
Yes.
It's a performance, right, as well. It's something that you sort of take out of yourself and perform.
Do you know of any legislation for Junkanoo?
No.
Yeah?
Not at all.
I think the last legislation for Junkanoo that may be still on the books, I'm not sure,
uh-huh.
is that it's a public nuisance.
You're right.
At one point in time, Junkanoo was dubbed as Obia,
uh-huh.
against the law.
Uh-huh.
These may be the last legislation on the art, something that we call our culture, on the books. And if it is that, right, again, it tells a tale on how important or lack thereof, the important is Junkanoo. See, we talk a good game, but we don't show it. We are not committed to it. And we need to start having a tough discussion that perhaps what we are suggesting Junkanoo is, that is perhaps not.
Right, because how you could go from it being a public nuisance,
mm-hmm.
we're about 100 years
yes.
past that point, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a couple hundred years past the point it was called a public nuisance. And all of a sudden, it's important. At least the government thinks it's important.
They think it's marketable.
Right. But not for us.
It can't be important because the legislation is going to be enacted. So yeah. it's marketable.
Right. And that's what I meant by, in the capitalist sense, that's what important means. It's marketable, right? And so all of a sudden, it becomes okay once we're using it to build a product for tourists. It's the sort of the same thing with locks, right? Like when you understand that it wasn't until the 40s that the last Caribbean country repealed the law that you could shoot a person with dreadlocks on sight.
Yes.
It wasn't until 1940s
mm-hmm.
that they got rid of that law that you could shoot a dreadlock person on sight. So here we are in this sort of multicultural country where children are still being beaten, demeaned, mm-hmm. derided, psychologically abused for wanting to wear locks, not combing their hair, keeping it nappy. But at the same time, we're sort of in this culture where we're saying, oh, listen, white people could have locks too, you know, I don't understand what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, hold on. This thing that was so intrinsically a part of me was so illegal that you could just shoot me on sight.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, we're just going to fast forward to, no, it's okay if white people wear them too.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, the same thing with Junkanoo.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean you can tell me that you didn't want me to go to Junkanoo, it was a bad thing, and then all of a sudden it's good, but because we could make money with tourists?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it's a big question, right? And I wanted to form it like a debate because I think that Queen Victoria is in her glory
yeah.
this morning. Watching and all week watching Rawson Square and Parliament Square all dolled up.
It tells a tale that European Americans, Anglo-Saxons, can export their culture, and it becomes the mainstream culture of Africans in general. They have exported Christmas to us. We have adopted Christmas. They exported Anglicanism. They exported their colonialism, and we defend it as our own, as it's the best thing that we cannot breathe. It's now our air. And that's why I say I can appreciate your point that the display is very Americanized, Anglicanized, right?
Yeah.
And that there's no African theme within it. There's no Bohemian Caribbean theme within it. And it doesn't exist because we see no value within ourselves to inject ourselves to say, well, we export our own culture abroad. We see no value in it.
Not at all. I got a text here, and then we're going to go to these calls. The text says, good morning, Aaron, and happy holidays. Your guests keep saying American Christmas and American Junkanoo. Now, first of all, let me read the text. Our Junkanoo is Bahamian with Caribbean horns and percussions. Bahamians loves Junkanoo celebration all the time from East Street to Grand Bahama. That's not what Mr. Nuri was saying. Mr. Nuri was saying that the Christmas light display in Rawson Square is very American and Americanized. And I was making a juxtaposition, like I was comparing the Junkanoo experience to this Americanized Eurocentric Christmas display. And we were having a conversation about that. But at no point in time did Mr. Nuri say that Junkanoo was American. Now, what we've both been talking about is how it feels as if the only value that Junkanoo has to the state is in its marketability to tourists as part of the tourism product. And that's what we started talking about. Continue. He listening. Junkanoo practice, community festivals, weddings and events, celebration with Junkanoo all the times. Even tourism would feel the rush and just rush from We Are Bahamian through the Bahamas. I mean, what you listed there, it seemed like, yeah, you could experience Junkanoo a myriad of ways, right? But here's what it is. If you're not a part of a group, right? If you're not a part of a group and you can't afford to go to Junkanoo practice, some people can't afford to go to Junkanoo practice, you know. They don't have the spare money to pay to get in or to put gas in the car to get out there or to pay the babysitter to watch the children so they could go. What I'm concerned about is that Junkanoo going to be a pay-to-play kind of vibe.
Yes.
The only way you could experience Junkanoo is if you could afford to. And we're going to do it in the same way we do everything. Like if you loved it enough, you would pay the money to see it. Mm-hmm. If you loved it enough, you would make sure that you had enough money to experience it and participate. But why would I need money to participate in Junkanoo?
And something that's supposed to be natural to you.
Yes.
You know, and it should be community groups where we don't pay for Junkanoo. That a wedding doesn't have to pay $5,000 to a group because a family is a Junkanoo group itself, right? That the only way we can experience Junkanoo now is that we go to one of the hotels, right? And see, all of that it should be conversation we have. And what is this Junkanoo? Or what has Junkanoo become? What has Junkanoo become? And are we comfortable with it? And the reason why there is no Junkanoo this year is that the Junkanoo group said they're not rushing. Not that the government stopped it, you know, because the government...
why are they not rushing?
Because of COVID. They said that they are financially burdened because of COVID, that they cannot afford to rush.
Oh, so not the risk of catching COVID.
No, that's part two. That's what I said first. And then the risk of catching COVID with the vulnerable persons who are involved within the Junkanoo group. And government has petitioned various Junkanoo group as to what can they be done. And this is how this virtual Junkanoo came about, by government lobbying and pleading with Junkanoo groups to say, hey, just do something, do anything, right?
Yeah.
And even in terms of the recent community Junkanoo expressions, this has come through the public outcry and say, hey, you all need to have something, please.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how they got the response of this Gus Cooper celebration recently.
But I don't think, and that wasn't the first one. I know that the National Neighborhood Watch Council, it appears, has been working with or collaborating with either constituency teams or Junkanoo groups in communities to organize this type of event, a similar community rush out. I think there have been a couple of Junkanoo experiences, I'll call them, over the last couple of weeks, giving people an opportunity to participate. I don't know if it's a good thing or if it's a bad thing. Mm-hmm. Like, if I would have loved to have known, but at the same time, if I know, that means everybody know.
Yes.
And so everybody going there, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe somebody would not say, hey, I'm not from that community. As I'm approaching, I could see it's already jam-packed.
Yes.
Let me park on the outskirts and just listen, you know? Let's get, I got a couple of seconds left. Let's get to this caller. Caller, you're on the clock. Good morning, caller. You still there? I am so sorry, caller. Thank you for holding. Good morning. You're on the clock. Oh, man, I am so sorry I lost you guys. Well, I hope I didn't lose you. I hope you've been tuned in to the conversation. Sometimes we say things that run your heart and inspire you to call in. Hopefully, most of the time, we're just saying something that inspires you to think a little more along those lines. Tech says, Aaron, that point CA made is very important for the public to know. The government didn't cancel Junkanoo. Junkanoo groups cancel Junkanoo. But also why they cancel Junkanoo. Yes. Because of the inability to garner or generate the resources necessary to host, to pull off the event. And that seems reasonable. Because if you could find money, trust me, the money could find something to do with itself. I think also remember what's important is are the reasons why. And I think by now, if you remember the project that V. Charmaine Roll has been working on with Junkanoo Rush, documenting the lives of those lost during the pandemic, you know, I think the Junkanoo community as a whole does take the pandemic seriously and is concerned about stopping the spread and protecting the lives of its community.
Yes, in
community.
And that must be commended. And they hold fast to it and they committed to it.
Right. But I will say is this, is that moving forward, what I would like to ask the government to do is to not just put up your hands and say, oh, well, the Junkanoo community says nothing to be done. Because you know your people. You know how they go. More importantly, you have the social scientists there, the psychiatrists, the psychologists, who I'm sure would have told you by now if you asked. The people need opportunities or avenues to return to tradition. They need small spaces where they could do some of the things they used to do the way that they used to do it. And when you identify what things are most important, then you identify options. For, that's what it means to have oversight. You see, y'all like to carry on like you's Rasta, like you on the top, like you overstand. But you ain't overstanding. You're sort of fobbing it off. You're giving it to somebody else to think about. There should have been a plan.
Yes.
It shouldn't have been left to random groups of Junkanooers to decide what they're going to do. The government could have taken the lead with the Junkanoo community, supported them with a little extra funding. You don't need to be eating two meats, especially when we have a pandemic where death is potentially driven by comorbidities like obesity. What a perfect and wonderful example to set. Next year, create a plan with options. Yuri, we didn't even get to talk about Carnival Weekend.
Can you imagine? Go ahead.
I don't know if you were on air with me when I got the text where somebody said, man, y'all talking about Carnival too much. And I offered that we ain't talk about it enough, buddy. Because if we had focused on that, we would have found the answers to many of the questions that we have.
Yes.
Oh, boy. I just want to know. I asked yesterday, maybe you know, Cecil, who has the hologram machine? Because the images that I saw over the weekend, they are holograms. There's no way that's real.
No, it's real. It's real. And again, it shows that we didn't have enough checks and balances regarding that.
Yeah. Absolutely. One last thing, no calls, no more texts. There's an important issue on the table that I want you to raise, and perhaps we can continue to discuss next week as we roll into the new year.
Start now. No, I wanted to speak on the government's commitment to use NIB funds to pay Atlantis employees. I'm uncomfortable with that. For the year, NIB has exhausted its fund for paying unemployed people. There are checks and balances for that, right? The money that should have been used is social services. And I see that Minister LaRota has announced today, so proudly and so boldly, that we are using NIB funds to pay staff members of Atlantis in particular, who has been made redundant.
But hold on, shouldn't Atlantis be paying staff members of Atlantis who have been made redundant?
It's chaotic. I just don't know what's going on.
I know that there was an amendment to the law under the state of emergency, but now that the state of emergency has been repealed, has there been a statement as to what we revert back to?
I concluded that they're doing their own thing. And until Bohemian people start challenging and questioning what is it that you are doing and that there are checks and balances to, that governs this, we'll see that another government coming and abusing our resources and our funds and doing whatever they want to do for whatever social benefits they want to do it for. It's very unfortunate. And I think that the Ruto erred and his pronouncement. I think that social services should have come in place. And it's very unfortunate that we are abusing and raping the National Insurance Board again for political benefit.
And why isn't the employer responsible for paying out their employees?
I only can assume that they are doing that. I don't know what's happening.
So you're wondering if it's a double payout.
But I know that usually when you get made redundant, the government gives you a set of funds. That has been already happened. That has been expired. We even borrowed money and do a stipend post that. And to know that we are giving out Christmas mood money, bonuses again, using NIB money, is an affront to the Bohemian people and an affront to the fund that is already challenged for all that money we've been spending out on.
Absolutely. And it would be great to have a statement from the Attorney General's office as to the reading of the law as it exists now.
Yes.
Absolutely. Cecil, we are all out of time. I'd like to thank you for joining me today. I didn't realize that discussion was going to get that exciting, man.
And so profound, yeah.
I was going to get in here and, you know, bun down imperialism.
Yes.
And how could you replace the space for African celebration with the whitest of whitest Christmases.
You mean one with Victoria and then the Governor General that represents Victoria, that square?
Yeah, look here.
That colonial square.
Yeah, she in all her glory.
Yeah.
And I wonder what about the Africans that once had to serve her?
And then the House of Parliament and the Whigs in the Senate.
Yeah.
That whole colonial space.
Hold on, wait, maybe I'm the one that's out of place.
You're out of place because that's colonialism by definition.
We just love that.
Yes.
That's who we are.
That's who we are. That's why we need more people knighted. And that's why we are delaying ever becoming a republic. Because, no, we love it how it is right now.
Boy, look here. I'm glad we delay in becoming a republic. Because the republic is just the same, the other side of the coin, you know.
Yeah.
We gotta imagine beyond even a republic. Anyway, that's a lot of exciting talk. I ain't got time for that. I just got a couple congratulations, Arlington, as you turn that music up. To end the show, I want to say good morning and happy birthday to Bettina Demerit. Happy birthday, sistren. And I want to say congratulations to Leigh Farquharson and Khalil Parker, both QC Comets, on their appointment as Queen's Counsel in the Bahamas. Congratulations to my fellow Comets and happy birthday, sistren. Thank you for joining me today on the Clock with Erin Green. It is 11 a.m. That means Levon Miller and Unleash is up next. I'm looking to see if he's coming in here with the Royal Bahamas Defense Force Ban Arlington. Because how are we going to top that? That was great this morning. Have a wonderful day. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Sailor man sound. Leave it bum. Leave it bum. Leave it bum, 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 bum. Feel it, bum. Feel it, bum. Feel it, bum, 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 bum. This is shown by the stars above. What goes up must come down. Here's a man that is born of a woman. Has about a short time to live. Golly gray, yeah, need it barely now, yeah. That's the sailor man, son. Golly gray, yeah, boy. Need it barely now, yeah. It's the sailor man, son. Cool winds are blowing. I see now the break of dawn. Going out alive.